Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We worship in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Or you could join us on our live stream at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings at www.theseedchristianfellowship.online.church or go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. If you miss all those opportunities, you can always click on our YouTube website and go to any of our messages, children's messages, weekly messages, or our total worship services at the Seed Christian Fellowship. Well, we're going to have a little message today on salt and light. Those two options, or those two things, are really important. The Sermon on the Mount could or should be labeled the sermon or the message on the mountain. The message on the mountain. Well, if I studied this story this past week, it hit me. The mountains are used a lot in the Bible. The word mountain is used 305 times, 275 times in the Old Testament, and 30 times in the New Testament. What do mountains portray? When they are used in the Bible, they stand for stability and security. That made me think about all the stories used in the Bible where mountains are included. In Genesis 8, Noah and the ark. The floods receded and the ark is now resting on Mount Ararat. Genesis 22, Abraham takes his son Isaac to Mount Moriah and intends to offer him as a sacrifice. Numbers chapter 3, Moses and the Ten Commandments given on Mount Sinai. 1 Kings chapter 18, Mount Carmel, and the showdown between Elijah and the Baal's false prophets. That's the Old Testament. How about the New Testament real quick? In Matthew, mountains are mentioned a lot, and they're important. Seven times we find Jesus on a mountain. First, at his time of temptation. Second, when he went up to the mountain to pray. Third, where he gives this message, the Sermon on the Mount. The fourth is Jesus was on a mountain when he was transfigured. The fifth is how mountains are where Jesus feeds the thousands. The sixth is Jerusalem is placed on the mountain. What about Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified? And the last is how about the resurrection when Jesus ascends from a mountain? Isaiah tells us about a mountain in our reading today. Before we go to our Isaiah passage in chapter 2, let's come before the Lord. Let's come to the throne of grace in a moment of prayer. Lord God of creation, be present with us today as we meet here at the foot of the San Gabriel Mountains. Come with your security, with your stability, and your strength, and fill us today with wisdom and grace as we study your word. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Amen. Isaiah chapter 2, 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his path." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Well, the other day, I received an email with some church humor in it. A very gracious lady was mailing an old family Bible to her brother in another part of the country. And the postmaster said, "Is there anything breakable in there?" And her reply, "Well, only the Ten Commandments." We're not studying the Ten Commandments today, but we are spending some time taking a long drink from the well of wisdom found in the Message on the Mount. Today's passage, well, it's a very famous passage teaching about the influence we as Christians should have in our world. Well, we look at the Sermon on the Mount and what the character of those who will come into the kingdom of heaven should be like. In the Beatitudes, Jesus tells us we are to be blessed if we are poor in spirit, if we mourn and are merciful and meek, and if we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We are blessed if we are pure in heart, peacemakers, and even when we are persecuted. These character traits of those who will inherit the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven will become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In essence, what Jesus is telling the people gathered on the mountainside is that they are not to just sit there and listen about how to be a Christian. They are to go out and be a Christian. Jesus clearly states the purpose of the Christian life, to be salt and light in our world. I always say that we need to put ourselves into the story, and then before we leave the church or we leave this message, put the story in us. As we listen to Matthew today, put yourself in this story. We've grabbed what we would need for a trip to a mountain, and we found Jesus and the disciples. Are you with me? Are you in the story today? Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can it be salty? How can the saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Salt. Let's talk about that for a moment. In the days of Jesus and for many centuries thereafter, salt was the most common preservative used. There were no refrigerators, no deep freezers in ancient times. Salt was used to keep things from going bad and becoming rotten, particularly meat. When Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot." Jesus is telling his disciples that they were called to be the preserving agent in a decaying world. Pause and ponder that. Jesus is calling the disciples to be the preserving agent in a decaying world. The simple principle is that you and I are called to be a preserving force in this world. Whether we are called to live, wherever we are called, where we live, where we work, where we play, where we worship. Think of it this way. Salt that never leaves the shelf, that will be no good in preserving anything. To be effective, the salt has to be rubbed into the meat. Have you gone into the grocery store and looked at all the rubs they have for seasoning your steak? In the same way, we must allow God to use us as well as a flavorful seasoning for our homes, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our families, our churches. A small amount of love and kindness goes a long way in making our world a better place. Sodium is an extremely active element found naturally only in combined form. It always links itself to another element. Chlorine, on the other hand, is a poisonous gas that gives bleach its offensive odor. When sodium and chlorine are combined, the result is sodium chloride, common table salt, a substance we use to preserve meat and keep or even bring flavor out. Love and truth can be like sodium and chlorine. Love without truth, well, it's flighty, sometimes blind, willing to combine with various and contrary doctrines. On the other hand, truth by itself, well, it can be offensive, sometimes even poisonous. Spoken without love, truth can turn people away from the gospel. But when truth and love are combined in an individual or in a church, then we have what Jesus called the salt of the earth. and we are able to preserve and bring out the beauty of our faith. The other day, I went to the grocery store to do some shopping. I went to buy some juice for home communions. I came across an insight on flavoring. I was holding a bottle of blueberry pomegranate juice. There was a picture of a ripe pomegranate spilling its exotic, glistening seeds onto mounds of fat, perfect blueberries. I read the ingredients. Filtered water, pear juice, concentrate, apple juice, concentrate, grape juice, concentrate. Where were the blueberries? Where was the pomegranate? Finally, I found them fifth and seventh in a list of 9 ingredients. By law, food ingredients are listed in descending order by weight, meaning a product contains the greatest proportion of the first ingredient on the list and successively less of those further down the list. According to the jug in my hand, it contained mostly water, a few other juices, with just enough blueberry and pomegranate for flavor and color. In the bottom corner of the front label, in small, easy to miss, were the telltale words, flavored juiced blend with other natural ingredients. The enticing pictures and clever labeling were decoys used to sell a diluted blueberry pomegranate flavored product, convincingly disguised to look like something it was not. I put the juice back on the shelf. I chose the juice. It was more costly, but it had more of what I was looking for. That made me think, what if we had ingredients or an ingredient list printed on us? What if we had an ingredient list printed on us? You think about that. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. If you have a prayer concern, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer concerns. Write your prayer. We'll pray for you. If you have a question on theology or scripture, email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship. So I asked a question. What if we had an ingredient list printed on us? Would Jesus be the main ingredient? If not, how far down the list would he be? Would our label actually or accurately represent our contents? Or would we falsely project a misleading outward appearance that cleverly masks our diluted ingredients? Our packaging may be convincing. We may look and sound like the real thing, but what if someone came looking for Jesus and found something else? Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, quote, "I might have entered the ministry of certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers," end of quote. This could be funny, but I don't think it's really funny. Oliver Wendell Holmes missed the gospel because of how clergymen looked. More than 100 years ago, the atheist philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche reproached a group of Christians. Nietzsche said, "Yuck, you make me sick." When their spokesman asked why, he answered, "Because you redeemed don't look like you're redeemed. You are as fearful, guilt-ridden, anxious, confused, and adrift in an alien environment as I am. I'm allowed. I do not believe. I have nothing to hope for. But you people claim you have a savior. Why don't you look like you are saved?" That's a quote from Friedrich Nietzsche. What if we had an ingredient list printed on us? That's a probing thought. Would Jesus be the main ingredient? So at the end of the message on the Mount, we are called to consider on what kind of foundation we are building. We are going to be a wise builder or a foolish builder. We're going to build our life on sinking sand, or are we going to build our life on the rock of Christ? As I've been working on this sermon, I came across this great illustration about building on the rock and letting your light shine. 11 miles off the coast of Scotland in the North Sea stands the Bell Rock Lighthouse. It has endured the ferocious onslaught of the North Sea's violent storms since 1811. It rests upon less than 1 acre of solid rock. The small reef is covered by seawater for 20 hours every day. The builder of the lighthouse, Robert Stevenson, and his band of 65 skilled artisans had only 4 hours each day to kink away the stone and gouge a foundation in the rock. As a result of this painstakingly patient work, the 115-foot-tall lighthouse is still in use today. Did you know that in 1972, a young Egyptian businessman named Farahat lost an $11,000 watch? He was stunned when a garbage man dressed in filthy rags found it and returned it to him. Farahat asked him why he didn't just keep the watch, and the garbage man said, quote, "My Christ told me to be honest until death." Farahat later told a reporter, quote, "I didn't know Christ at that time, but I told the garbage man that I saw Christ in him. I told him because of what you have done and your great example, I will worship the Christ you are worshiping." Do you know that Farahat studied the Bible and grew in his faith? 2 years later, he visited the garbage man's village outside of Cairo, where about 15,000 to 30,000 people were living in poverty and squalor. There was no electricity or running water. Alcohol, drugs, and gambling were pervasive. Men, women, and children sifted through huge mountains of garbage looking for something of value that could be sold for cash or traded for food. Farahat found himself reflecting on the words of Jesus, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He also remembered the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 12 through 13, that says, "We will work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuge of the world." It was soon thereafter that Farahat and his wife began ministering to people's spiritual and material needs. They preached the gospel throughout Egypt, and thousands of people turned to Christ. In 1978, Farahat was ordained by a Coptic Orthodox church and became known as Father Saman. Now, about 10,000 believers meet in a large cave outside the garbage village. It is the largest church of believers in the Middle East. In May of 2005, a day of prayer was held for Muslims to turn to Christ. More than 20,000 Arab Christians gathered. The event was also broadcast on a Christian satellite TV network where millions were watching. All of this, think of this, all of this because one garbage man chose to humbly return a watch that would have made him the richest man in town. Ooh, have you heard about the woman on the news whose car stopped working? She didn't have the money to fix it, so she junked it and started walking the 2 miles to work. One day on her way to work, she found a bag with $15,000 cash inside of it. That could have bought her a nice secondhand car, couldn't it? No, this woman said all she could think of was that whoever lost that money was missing that money. She brought the bag to the local police. The police did their best detective work and found out this woman was walking 2 miles to and from work in the rain and the snow. The police put up a GoFundMe page, and the other day they delivered a $67,000 Jeep to this woman. She was speechless. So what? So what? Let's wrap this up and bring it home. What do all these scripture stories and Jesus asking us to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth mean to us today? Jesus is on the mountaintop teaching us how to improve our lives. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So I'm going to ask a probing question. Do you really come to church to worship the living God? Do you listen to these broadcasts to worship the living God? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to rub the seasoning of the love of God into your hearts each Sunday that you worship or each time you listen to a broadcast? Do we let our daily devotionals and weekly Bible studies season our lives so that we're ready to flavor our world? our home, our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, and churches. If we had an ingredient list, how far down would the Jesus factor be? Jesus was onto something in that mountaintop. From his viewpoint, he saw a decaying world. If we really listen and are building our life upon the rock of Christ, we will do whatever it takes to be the salt and light of the world. Robert Stevenson only had 4 hours each day to gouge a foundation into solid rock, but the lighthouse is still in use 200 years later. Last week, we had some friends from Washington State come down and worship with us. Mike was one of our former worship leaders and remains a very good friend, and he's having some health issues. So it was great to be able to see him and to love on him. And a small group of the Seedites, I call them, decided to take our friends out to lunch. And at one point, our friends made it clear that they were paying the bill for the six of us. Then they said, "You are more than welcome to bless our server with a tip." But we were paying for the meal. Everyone put in $20. Our server received quite a tip that day. The work we do for Christ in our lifetime has the opportunity to light up the darkness for years to come. Are you like the Bell Rock Lighthouse dug deeply into the rock of Jesus Christ? So what for us today? Look at that. I would encourage you to go look on the website at the Bell Rock Lighthouse. Here's your so what. When the waves of the world are crashing all around us and we stand safely and securely in the midst of the storm because we built our foundation on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, first, you build your house on the solid rock like the wise person. Second, you let your light shine so you are called the salt of the earth. Sooner or later, those billowing waves will come, and if we have done our homework and had our mountaintop makeover, we can simply let our light shine and let our salt season in the darkest night. As we exit this program or exit church, I want to remind you that as you think about this, in our church, you pass two pictures, a picture of Jesus designed by the words of the Gospel of John, and a mirror that says, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." It's my prayer that each and every time you enter and leave our church, that you'll find a living gospel of God's love, of God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and that your light will shine and your salt will season your life, your family, your friends, your work, your church, your neighborhood, the grocery store, the freeways. The other night at our Bossy Band of Spiritual Sisters in Yahweh, my wife heard another saying, something that tickled her funny bone, for reals. Someone had told a rather large fish tail, won't describe the person, but the woman replied, "For reals." Friends, this Jesus is for reals, and so are you. I say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, and you say, all other ground is sinking sand. No wonder God created mountains for reals. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks that you call us to love one another, that you call us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Fill us with your grace, fill us with your truth, to speak those, bring your grace into this world and to speak your truths in Jesus' name. God loves you, and so do we. God bless and have a great day. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers, growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.